ago, I had stepped on a Lego in the middle of the night. And the next day when I told my son how unhappy I was about having to step on one of his Legos in the middle of the night, he said to me, "But remember what the radio says about it? You're supposed to be happy that you have me." And I thought that was really cute.
I think you're building and raising a little politician there or something. Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. We're going to talk about kids today, going back to the root of this ministry, the where it all began, as we would have parent talks with people around the country. Today, we're going to talk about holding kids accountable. Now more than ever, we need to be intentional parents. We live in a world where our young people are being influenced by many things, and one of the things that I am very passionate about here at Intentional Living is helping parents and grandparents learn and pass along to the next generation, not only to know Christ, but then to start to make Christ-like decisions. And that's intentional living. And one of my goals over this next year is to see that we can do more to help parents and grandparents help you do exactly that. Hey, we'd love to have you join in today. We're going to be talking about holding your kids accountable. How are you holding your kids accountable? What one thing do you do that works? You can share that on our story comment line right now at 888-888-1717. We have all the calls lined up and ready for today's program already because this is one of our archive best of programs today. But we'd love to hear your comments live on our comment line at 888-888-1717. You know, we get one shot at this thing of parenting. It happens in the first 10 to 20 years of life for your child, and these are developmentally important years, and how you are being intentional will make a difference. So today's program will give you some really practical tools on how to hold your kids accountable, at the same time understanding that what you're really doing is training your children for the world in which they're going to move into at some point. So come on in. Again, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, talking about holding kids accountable.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlson. I've been thinking for a long time about your question about being intentional, and I've been wondering, like, what could I do to be intentional? And I've just given it a lot of thought, and it just came to me. Something that has been very important to me is my children. And the one thing that I know that I should be intentional in and that I want to be intentional in is to instill in my children the love of God. Thank you for your program. I love it. Bye.
On our computer today, over when you go to the website, rather, theintentionallife.com, and click on the broadcast highlights, we've got a list in our intentionals, the top 10 things that I believe good parents, intentional parents do. And I put it in sort of a statement of I will or I will not, okay? For instance, I will not do for my children what they can do for themselves, because when I do, I disrespect them. Now that will preach. As a parent, whenever you step in and do for your children something that they are capable for themselves to do, you weaken them. I will not overreact when my child overreacts, because when I do, we both lose. Boy, some of you, come on, if you were to raise your hand, are just major overreactors. And long term, that's not effective. I will not rescue my child from life lessons that he or she needs to learn, because when I do, I weaken them. I will not treat my teenager like a child. When I do, I create resentment. They're not an adult yet. We have to always treat our children what is age appropriate. Number five, I will not be dissuaded. Big word for saying I'm just not going to be pushed away from doing the right thing. Despite anger, tears, cursing, or threats, when I do, I'm an irresponsible parent. If your kids throw a tantrum, you still need to lovingly, you may wait for a few minutes, but you still need to follow through. Sorry about your tears, sorry you feel that way, but this is still what's going to happen. I will pick my battles carefully, because it's more important to be the right parent than to be right. There's six of the 10 on the Intentionals top 10 list for intentional parents. You can get it at our website at theintentionallife.com. Click on the broadcast highlights. couple principles of disciplining children. Age appropriate is always important. The basics of parenting, we tell parents, is to parent up and power down. Turn down the power in your home. Just be an intentional parent. The use of logical and natural consequences can make a difference. Life is full of those. Your kids will face them on the job, will face them in marriage, will face them throughout their lifetime. And as your children learn about logical and natural consequences of their behavior and their attitude, that you can orchestrate in a way that's effective and it's age appropriate, and of course, something that's, you don't let your children play in the street just to learn consequences, please. Okay, let's use some good sense here. But you know what? You can show children when you see an accident that maybe someone wasn't paying attention, or someone was using alcohol, or someone was breaking the law, perhaps. And that's a reality. When people do that, you can see what's happened to someone else. We need to pray for them that they'll be safe, but also maybe learn. So we allow life to become a teacher for our kids. 888-888-1717.
Hey, Randy, this is Barbara from Fairhope, Alabama. Just wanted to tell you that as a mother, the intentional thing that I did was to intentionally be involved in my children, where they were going, who they were with, making sure when they said they were spending the night with someone that I knew them or was able to communicate with those parents so that there was accountability, so that my children knew that I cared enough about them to hold them accountable, just to, give them those boundaries to know that if they wanted to do something that wasn't going to be appropriate, that they would know that someone would be checking on that situation. And it really helped them. They were thankful that I loved them that much.
Hmm. All right, great stories. Thank you for sharing yours. Deanna is on the line today. Hi, Deanna. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Charles. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me?
So I believe kids like 6 and older, and it's better to teach them like accountability. But like, how about like the younger kids? You said like,
yeah, the little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this thing of discipline, Deanna. Remember, the word discipline comes from discipleship. It comes from the concept of teaching and training. So often as parents, we think that our job is to, quote, punish our children. I don't buy that. I think our job is to train them, to nurture them. And part of it is holding them accountable, letting them see how life works. So let's say you got a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, and you've asked them to pick up their toys. And, it's a reasonable thing to do. Before we have dinner tonight, pick up your toys. If they don't, there's a couple of realities. One is maybe they miss that meal. Wow. There's a thought, or it's delayed. Or maybe another thought, if you're not comfortable with that, would be that you come along and then you're going to pick up the toys, but they're not going to go back in the child's closet for them to play with next time. They disappear into your room in a bag. And when the kids say, well, where's my whatever, you name the toy, well, I guess you didn't really want to take care of it all that much because I asked you to pick it up and you didn't. And so it's going to be gone for a while. See, these are consequences. If kids leave toys outside, they're going to get stolen or damaged or by the weather, or someone's going to take it away, steal it. That's reality. If you leave toys sitting out in the bedroom, you don't put them away, there's a consequence. Now, we're not trying to be harsh or punitive here, Deanna. We're just letting children see in age-appropriate ways that there are consequences, good and bad, for the behavior. We can even start young by putting some money into a jar at dinner time and start to give kids small amounts of money that they can start to manage and see that there's something they can buy at the store, something that they want, that they learn to wait and not get immediate gratification. These are the things that you can do with a 5 or 6-year-old to begin training them. Lots of ideas. In fact, we have an entire study for parents called Raising Responsible Adults that focuses on these principles of what it means to raise a little one. And if you'll hang on, Deanna, I'm going to have Sally get your address, and I'm going to send you the book and the study guide, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, because I know you want to do a good job. We'll help you think about it, okay? By the way, that resource is something available here through our Intentional Living Center. Telephone number, if you have a story or a question, is 888-888-1717.
Hi, Hi, this is Jennifer calling, and the very first thing I do to be intentional is to spend quiet time with God every morning, building myself up to face my day. I live with an autistic child with many health ailments, and it's like the laundry, it's never officially done. So I've chosen to maintain a good attitude regardless, and dealing with negative people is a part of my everyday life, and I have just chose to look beyond and see the good and to live by example. And I have a saying in our house that when things go wrong, don't go with it. We always have a choice. It truly is a choice. God can give us the strength for all things. Thank you for being a blessing.
As I was looking at these weeks, I thought, how many of those weeks did I waste? How many of those weeks did I not use wisely, right? They're gone. But we become the accumulation of the time that we spend on the planet unless we choose to do something different. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month on the decades of life. And it's really based on me doing some thinking about life. And, you know, that verse, it talks about teach us to number our days. And I found a little week calendar that shows how many weeks in a lifetime, a little over 4,000 or so, generally speaking. And how those weeks are used matters. They make a big difference. And so the teaching this month is one of the most important ones I believe we've done around here. Decades of Life. I hope you'll receive it. For members, you'll be getting it automatically, as you know, about mid-month. It'll come, as it already has for this month. And I hope you'll share it, not only with yourself and listen to it, but with your kids and your grandkids. Use this as a teaching opportunity for the next generation. You know, we're 1 week now away from the end of the year, fiscal year, that is. And I was looking just this morning. Let me just be real transparent exactly where we are as a ministry as we close out this year, because we're very intentional with our finances. As of the report I just received, we're at $94,488 to go to be fully funded for the intentional living fiscal year. I know that's a big number, but we got a big God and a lot of wonderful friends. Can I ask you to do part of meeting that need today to help us close out this year, this fiscal year? We'd appreciate it. Come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. And I want to thank you in advance for your generosity. Thank you in advance for sharing with us to help intentional living continue to reach more people for Christ. Here's one habit your kids need to learn before they leave your home. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. The first thought that came to my mind was, can we help the kids get the habit to clean their own room? That would be nice. But the fact is, the most important habit for life comes from the lips of Jesus. He says, learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22. See, if your kids take that with them from your home, the rest of their lives will fall into place. Whatever the difficult things that they face, the decisions they need to make, they've got the habit for life. Remember, the right habits for the right reason can change your life. Can I encourage you to develop those kinds of habits in your life intentionally starting today?
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office. Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and welcome to our center. We're talking kids today, holding our kids accountable. I'm going to get back to calls in a moment. People ask me, what is intentional living? It's really at its simplest basic 101 level, it is taking what we are on the inside, what we believe, what we value, how we think, and our attitude, what's happening on the inside of us, and getting that to match with what goes on the outside of us, our habits, our goals, our actions, our priorities. Let's face it, many times what we say and what we do don't match. What we think and how we respond don't match. And intentional living is taking what's on the inside, making sure it goes on the outside. Changes lives. This is something personal for you as you grow. I think you can deal with anything in life if you approach it as a follower of Christ intentionally. Okay, Holly, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. How can I help today? What's your question?
I was married for 10 years, and I am now recently the product of a divorce as of the 30th of last month. And I have.
How are you doing? Before we move on, how are you doing, Holly?
You know, when they say you go through all the processes and the stages, that's not a joke. You absolutely do. I'm doing much better. The marriage kind of fell apart because one of us wanted to follow Christ and the other one didn't.
Well, when we get unequally yoked, as the Bible says, a picture of not pulling in the same direction. And as far as parents, it doesn't end. I imagine your question has to do with two of you now pulling in different directions.
That's exactly right. I still keep Christ in our home. I still filter as best as I can and monitor the music. We belonged to a church for several years, and that fell into the wayside when him and I had split up. You know, the church couldn't understand, and it caused a breakdown. Well, I have full custody, and our 14-year-old is rebelling, not only because we're not together anymore, but because everything she knew, the Christian life that she knew, the music, all changed. Their dad is now listening to vulgar music around them, has got them to where they like the sound of it. And I'm trying to figure out how to hold her mostly accountable.
Yeah.
In my household, there's not a lot I can do in his household. But what's the best way to hold her accountable? She knows right from wrong.
Yeah. Well, you asked the most difficult of all questions, Holly, and I understand it, and we see it repeatedly in families when there's been a break and the parents have different values and going in different directions, and the children get caught in the middle. As you said, you can't change what happens at dad's home, but you certainly can set the tone in your home. I'd give you just a couple of things. Obviously, prayer. You're a follower of Christ. You pray. God will provide you strength, and so you can be a confident parent. You need to be confident in your home, and don't try to overreact in the other direction, if you know what I mean. You look at your ex-husband and say, he's doing all these things in his lifestyle, therefore I'm going to go to the far extreme in the other. You know, just be who you are in Christ. Run a home that honors Christ. Live your life in a way that honors Christ. Set an example for your daughter. She's not stupid. She was raised by you guys, and she can see, she can compare and contrast. But there's a spiritual dynamic of this as well. There's a passage in Scripture that talks about a hedge of protection. And it's a word picture, and I love it. It's like building a hedge of protection around a yard, and you see these thick hedges that protect what goes on the inside from the outside. And I would encourage you, because ultimately this is God's child. You are a steward of raising this 14-year-old, and I would pray every day. Here's what my intentional prayer would be. God, today's another day, a day that I need to be intentional in raising this young teenager. I want to do a good job. I want to honor you, but ultimately she belongs to you. And I would ask you today, Father, in the name of Jesus, to build a hedge of protection around her, around this home, that you would protect her thinking. You would protect what she feels. You would protect her attitude. You would protect her against the decisions that she could make that could have permanent impact in her life. I give her to you, and I ask that you will build a hedge of protection around her, and then give me the strength to be the parent that I need to be. I think that's the very best thing you can do, Holly.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Does that help a little bit?
It absolutely does. It's just, it's hard when you're a parent and so much is out of your control.
Well, yeah, it's all out of your control. Even with moms and dads living in agreement in the home, you still have children making decisions because they still are free agents and they're going to make decisions for life. So all you can do is be the very best mom you can be. Hang on, I want to send you our study on parenting, raising a responsible adult, to add to your library, and maybe it'll be an encouragement to you. So hang on, Sally will get that for you.
Hi, my name is Laura. Unfortunately, I wasn't walking with the Lord at the time, and I raised my son as a friend. I even smoked with him. And unfortunately, he's a very spoiled, angry young man. A lot of things happened to him that made him angry. It wasn't about me not parenting him, but I see the results of spoiling him. Could I do it over again? I would have given him a lot more discipline and love. And you know, had I been able to do it over again, I would have asked the Lord in my life and become, you know, a believer and try to walk the way that He wants me to walk rather than in the way that I think I should walk or my parents told me I should walk. I was raised in a family of non-believers, and I'm not using that as an excuse because I went back and forth until I learned the way. And the way is with the Lord. But since I wasn't parented, I really don't know how to parent with love.
Honest moms, listen, that's the beginning point. Hey, God, give me the power through your Holy Spirit to be the parent I need to be. There's where it begins. Talking about holding kids accountable today, let's go to Laura in New Mexico with a comment. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. What's your comment?
Oh, my comment is I have a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and my biggest intentional thing with them is holding them accountable for the things they can be held accountable for, such as putting away their shoes or not bringing toys into places that they can get lost.
Yeah, what do you do? How do you hold them accountable?
I don't help them look for their shoes unless they ask. If they did not put their shoes back, because we have a mud room and there's a cubby, if they don't put their shoes back in there until they ask for help, they don't get help.
That's good. So you're allowing them to take the initiative to look, but also know you're available if they need help.
Yep.
And you know, you did another thing. You talk about their cubby. So you have a little organization system as well,
yes.
Laura?
Or at least I'm trying to.
Yeah, I think that's important. There was a statement made, I read it many years ago, and it stuck with me, where you have parents who are disorganized, then you got parents who are obsessed with organization, and the balance is this. Everything should have a place recognized in the home, a place for shoes and hats and clothes and whatever, but it doesn't mean they always have to be in their place all the time. I think that's a great balancing act. Very, very, very effective. Okay, thank you, Laura. Cheryl, I only got a minute, but what's your comment today?
Just real quick, Dr. Randy, I wanted to let you know how we held our young adult college student accountable. We were still living in California, but he was over in Arizona at Northern Arizona University, and he called his dad and I up and said that he had gotten himself in trouble with credit cards.
Mm.
And would we mind paying his monthly payment on his car for the next several months? And to my surprise, my husband says, well, sure, we can do that for you. And there was a pause. And then his dad says, we will drive up this weekend and pick your car up. And so we did go up. We picked his car up. He had to ride his bike in the middle of winter up in Flagstaff from campus all the way over to the mall.
Oh.
He ended up getting knocked off his bike into a snowbank, ended up getting pneumonia.
Oh, my.
I, as a mom, I'm like, let's take his car back. And my husband was held firm and said, nope, he's got to learn about this. Well, today he's an amazing young man. He owns his own optometry practice, and he and his wife are raising wonderful, godly children. And it's because he was held accountable. We took something away, but he manages his money like there's no tomorrow now.
And because he remembers sitting in Flagstaff face down in a snowbank with his bike laying over the back of him thinking, you know what? This was a pretty dumb idea to get to this place where I didn't take responsibility. That is being intentional. Join us, 888-1717, with your comments.
Well, my one thing that I wanted to do for 30 days intentionally is pray for two people. And I want to do this for 30 days starting today. So that's my intentional thing that I want to declare today.
Listen, you don't need to tell us their names, but why did you pick those two people and what's your prayer for them?
Well, my prayer for them is that I want to make sure that they go to heaven. And so for 30 days, I want to intentionally pray for them because when we die, we can't take our homes or our cars or our jobs, but we can take people with us.
Yeah, so these are people that you love and you're concerned for at the deepest level of their spiritual life.
Yes.
Amen. Listen, I know you want to do it. Now, will you do it? And do you have a set time or how are you going to make that 30 days a reality?
Well, a lot of people would say the first thing in the morning, and I do pray on my way to work first thing in the morning, but I get up very early at 3:45 a.m., so I will be doing my prayer time for this intentional prayer in the early evenings.
You know, I was talking to that lady, and as you heard, she's made a commitment for 30 days, one thing, to pray for two people, and me challenging her on what time you're going to do that. You know, it can sound a little mechanical, but let me tell you this. Things that matter will always be attacked by things of lesser matter in your life. Satan is very good at that. That's why one of the four steps of intentional living is to declutter in order to have the margin in your life to do the things that really matter. And that's why we really talk a lot about the power of one thing. One thing done every day over a period of 30 days, just imagine what it could do in your life. Is it prayer? Is it reading scripture? Is it solving some problems or starting a goal, getting it moving, breaking the inertia? Whatever it is, it can make a difference in your life. And if you're willing to make a commitment to do one thing for 30 days to glorify God and build your family, I'd love to send you my one thing wristband as a way of just saying, hey, we're with you. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com/WB. Tell us what it is. We'll pray for you and we'll get you that wristband. And we're closing out the show today. A reminder, we're just 1 week away from the end of our fiscal year. We're behind where we need to be. And I just want to challenge you. I want to ask you just boldly, some of you to just really step up and help us in a big way. We have about $94,488 to be exact to go to reach the need for this fiscal year in the next week. That's a big number. We've got a big God and a lot of friends. So do what you can, would you? I appreciate it. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.